So before we dive into it, I'd love to get a little bit of your background, because I really loved looking into your IMDb and finding some real kind of connective points. I was especially amazed at some great films you got to work on when you were a property master, like you got to work with Todd on Love, Liza, and Jeff Daniels on Super Sucker, and films like Roger Dodger. Can you tell us a bit about property mastery? I think it's a subject that a lot of people don't realize what goes into that, and then how that led into getting to be a part of production design.
Well, prop mastering is hands down the hardest job on set, I would say. That is just deadline-driven problem-solving and extreme pressure. I loved that job, and I also loathed that job. But it certainly opened a lot of doors. You know, I fell into prop mastering through my carpentry. Oddly enough, I was building sets in Detroit in the 90s, and that's how I was working with Jeff Daniels. I actually became Jeff's prop master for several of his films that he wrote and directed in Michigan, and I had a nice little run with him. He's fantastic. What a talented guy. Talented actor, great guy, and a Red Wings fan. Ha. But so I prop mastered for a while. I did that for about, I don't know, 4 or 5 years when I moved to New York, and one thing led to another, and I more or less pretty much worked my way up through the art department, from carpentry to prop master to set decorating to art directing, and then eventually I was production designing situational comedies, and and eventually reality shows, of course, which I'm not so proud of, but I love the scripted content, and eventually I left New York and came to Los Angeles about 11 years ago. I was in New York for 10 years and started my fabrication company. I have a set design fabrication firm here in Los Angeles called Whale Film, and we make a lot of branded content. We do a lot of celebrity-driven live events and a lot of commercials, photo shoots, television, and now this documentary. So Whale Film is also the production company behind this. So yeah, I've just always been an art dog and in the art department, and one thing led to another, and I'm thrilled now that I can call myself a director for real.
So cool. Thanks for sharing that. I was really curious kind of your unique way into it. So tell me a bit about your meeting Thomas and going back all the way to 2013 and really how this all started.
Well, Thomas and I met in Indonesia in 2009. We became immediate friends, really started enjoying each other's company, hanging out, and it was really just we were friends at first. And then we would hang out in Europe or in the States, and one day he asked me, "Do you want to make a film in Africa?" And I said, "Yes." "What's the film about?" He said, "I just want to know if songs can save the world." And I thought, okay, artist guy. I'm like, "Well, we need a script." He's like, "No, don't worry about it." And, you know, we wrote a grant, so I asked him if anybody had ever given him money. I had just done a huge project in Detroit at the time where we secured a huge grant and then issued grants to artists and building owners and young entrepreneurs to revitalize this street in Detroit. And we had just gone through that process, so I wrote a grant to the Danish Composer Society for $60,000 so we could make a 10-minute short in Zambia. And they gave us $20,000, and Thomas booked the flights. So he took the money, booked the flights. And I asked him again, "What's this film about?" He said, "It's music, man, music." So then I was Googling him and Zambian, trying to come up with an outline for a film. And lo and behold, I found out that my dear friend Thomas was HIV positive. And I thought, holy shit, holy crap, I can't believe that. Wow, I had an idea. And then I started uncovering how prevalent it is in Zambia, and then I immediately pretty much knew what this film was going to be about. But, you know, I didn't mention anything to Thomas. I didn't want to, he'd never brought it up to me, so it's none of my business. And then we were filming, and almost right off the bat, it was all about music. We were meeting other musicians, and the topic of HIV just came up consistently, constantly, all the time. And I could see the emotions welling up inside of Thomas. And, you know, fairly quickly, I think day three, he and I were at a bar drinking in the hotel lobby, you know, after the third night, hanging out. And I said, man, this HIV thing's crazy here. He said, yeah, you know, I've got it. And I said, you know what? I did know that because I Googled you the other day and I couldn't believe it. It's crazy. He's like, yeah. And then he told me his whole story. And I was just like, holy crap, Thomas, this is intense. I think, you know, and then we both just discussed, and it was decided that, well, I said to him right away, I think you need to talk about this, because he had told me about a time when he was outed in Denmark on the eve, you know, he had a really big album. When he was 21, his album did really well. He became this big pop star in Denmark. Well, a year and a half later, on the eve of his second album coming out, the tabloids blasted him. He's HIV positive. He said he described that moment to me. He said, you know, he was walking down the street. He saw it on the magazine racks and at the newsstands, and he just was mortified. And it was crushing to him, and he had left the country. And it turns out, that's when I met him. I met him that week. He flew to, his label had flown him to Indonesia, and I just happened to meet him on this really small island there. And it just all started to come together. It really felt like, wow, this is important, and this is something we need to tell. And then Thomas, and then the very next day, he and I just started asking people about the HIV problem. And from there on, it went on. Yeah. And so that was in 2014, January of 2014. And, you know, I thought I would probably knock this film out in 1 or 2 years, and it took me 7.
How did you get to the point where he was able to bring his wife, his kids, the footage with his dad, and then obviously meeting his family? When did those moments start happening? Was there a moment when he decided that, you know what, I will open up my own story? Because I think that's obviously the crux of the story and some of the most powerful moments.
Yeah, you know, I think it didn't happen right away. I know exactly when it happened for him, actually. It was on the birth of his second child.
Mm.
And he was posting photos as a happy father with his newborn. And he was getting a bunch of hateful messages, like posts on his social media, and there was one in particular where a gentleman said to him, how could you do that? This is so, what's the word I'm looking for? Not inconsiderate, but anyways, I'm lost for words. He was just like, the guy was saying to him, how could you do this? How could you pass on HIV? This is so irresponsible. There you go. This is so irresponsible. And Thomas just was like, okay, that's when it kind of triggered in him, and he thought, you know what, I can't have my kids growing up in a world that's just filled with so much naivety and ignorance. I really have to do something about it. And then it really accelerated for him, and then we would go into Zambia, you know, wanting to, looking for answers, and you know, he would tell me, I'm gonna tell my family, I don't think they know, and I was there to document it.
How do you cut up 700 hours of footage, though? I mean, this is remarkable what you've been able to do. I mean, where did you get the kind of wherewithal to know? Did you know certain scenes would fit? I mean, that's arduous. It's crazy.
Well, no, I did. I had a good plan, and I had a script. I wrote a script after shooting in Zambia the first 3-4 trips. I knew what I had in the can, and I started crafting the story, and then that went out the window. it was incredibly difficult, and that's why it took us so long. You know, we shot the film for 3 years, and then it almost took me 3 years in post and three editors, and it was a very, very difficult puzzle. Everything, you know, first and foremost, we had so many incredible musical moments and performances. And at the heart and soul of this film, it's a rock doc as well as an HIV awareness film. But I creatively was always trying to get the music and make it cool. Nobody wants to see an AIDS film, but people do like music documentaries. And I adore Thomas's playing and his singing and his songwriting. So that first and foremost, we had a ton of beautiful scenes that I had to go away. So of course, as every rookie filmmaker does, I was trying to cram all the most beautiful moments in. Well, I learned that lesson the hard way. And then, you know, he also came to the States and recorded a soundtrack album with this producer, who actually, the producer was my landlady's husband. And he's a 16-time Grammy-winning producer. You know, she one day was saying, "Hey, you know, what are you working on, Tyler?" And of course, I poured into it. I'm doing this, I'm doing that. She said, "Oh my God, you got to meet my husband." I'm like, "What's he do?" She said, "Well, he's won like 24 Grammys." I'm like, "What? Of course I need to meet him." Well, it turns out he's only got 16, so it wasn't that big of a deal. But anyway, so he came to the States. So that's what, that was like another half year. He came to the States. We filmed all of that. We had B-Flow, one of the artists, fly in. It was a big to-do. We filmed all of that, and, you know, in the beginning, I was cutting all of that into the film, like, oh, this is badass, this is a rock doc. Well, that didn't work. It just didn't work. We learned that the hard way, that, and it just didn't work for the story. The more we kept it in Zambia and as close as possible to Thomas and his story, the better it worked. So, to answer your question, I mean, pouring through 750 hours, it was insane.
Mm. I know it's been tough with COVID about getting films out, and the film festival circuit has been basically, you know, ripped apart. But I'm curious, does this film have any serendipity in knowing that you're telling a story that I think can reflect on the importance of maybe not vaccinations, but of knowledge of disease? And your film showcases that education is a big valuable way, and Thomas's idea of music being that vessel. Do you feel this movie may cross the boundary a little bit? I kept thinking to COVID and people being impacted on different levels with this film. It definitely made me think on a different level, not just on HIV, but do you think this film has that capability of being bigger perspective even?
I sure hope so, and it certainly hasn't been lost on me, the parallels that I'm seeing today in 2020 and with COVID, and in a lot of ways, I do see it as serendipitous. It's wild to me that, you know, I tried to force this film out years ago for a multitude of reasons, but it wouldn't come out until it was ready, and lo and behold, it is coming out in this year, where you do see these parallels and you see a lot of ignorance. And I don't feel bad using that word, because Thomas, that's one of the things I love about this story, is that Thomas is a Zambian. And I feel like so many people have tried to solve the HIV and AIDS epidemic, but it often feels like some stuffy white guy from another country or a doctor in a doctor's, you know, this Thomas is an artist. He's white, he's black, he's African, he's European. You know, he's said to me several times, if he wasn't lucky enough to been taken out of Zambia as a toddler, as a three-month-old, he'd be gone. And all the other unfortunate souls that were born HIV positive in Zambia in the 80s, they are gone. And that's not lost on Thomas. That's why he feels like he has an obligation to tell this story. He knows that it's the right thing to do, and now you see our previous leader, quote unquote, leadership in this country treating this current pandemic the way they did, and it's so ignorant And I sure hope that if people do see this film, they look at it and say, oh, wow, we're being just as ignorant. It's crazy to me. It's the stigma's not as thick, but it is definitely parallel.
What does it mean to have Jay Glazer come on board and that mirroring of stories with Thomas's? That must have been a real win for the film itself.
Yeah, that was unbelievable. I mean, when we first met Jake, we filmed it, and those guys just immediately, they adore each other. They immediately hit it off. Thomas and Jake, I mean, how could they not? They're blood brothers. They have the same tragic stories of losing their mothers, and Jake lost his sister, and they're nearly the same age, and they just hit it off right away. That would be another scene and moment that unfortunately was cut away from the film, because it was a nice, beautiful moment. And those guys, Jake has brought so much to the project in terms of his knowledge. You know, Jake's been a spokesperson for his mother's foundation, the Elizabeth Glazer Pediatric AIDS Foundation, since he was a young boy. And now, you know, he's a 35-year-old guy, and he's been walking the walk, talking the talk, and he understands intrinsically what needs to happen to end this scourge that is HIV and AIDS. And Jake's got a perspective that we don't see in other areas, in other of the HIV and AIDS sphere, the global sphere. You know, we've partnered with a lot of really big organizations, UNAIDS, Elizabeth Glazer Pediatric AIDS Foundation, the AIDS Healthcare Foundation, and that's part of the reason we saw how they operated, and they are incredible. They're very, you know, they have public health knowledge and stats, but it just feels like Thomas has the ability to really tug at the heart of the youth, especially in Africa. It seems like he can be a super peer. He can be a true role model, a beacon of hope and positivity, and someone who's cool. And you know, if you think back the whole HIV AIDS history of it, there really has never been a role model in it. Sure, there was Magic Johnson there for a couple of years or whatever, but he didn't want that mantle. And it just feels like maybe Thomas could be the straw that breaks the camel's back. He could be the one that helps put this thing to bed. And he and Jake together are really strong. So, yeah, Jake brought a lot. Jake's awesome. And oddly enough, you know, his dad, Paul Michael Glazer, is a big-time actor. And he, there was a point where I was really struggling with the film, and he stepped in and helped me. Helped me better craft it, so it became a better film. And so I have a lot of gratitude, and just I'm really thankful for the Glazer family being on board.
Wow. Well, Tyler, I've got to ask. It's a crazy long time making this film, but have you been bitten by the documentary bug? Is this the motivation to keep in this realm, or are you looking in the future to dive into other things? I'm curious how much this has impacted your trajectory.
Well, I've been a documentalist my entire life, or a documentarian, whatever the word is. I've been documenting people on film since I was 6. So it comes very natural to me, and it's what I've always done. And now I've reached the professional ranks, and this film nearly broke me. But you're absolutely right, I'm going to be making more. I'm actually already in production with my second doc, and it's the Cool Keith story. He's a rapper from the Bronx. He's probably your favorite rapper, Cool Keith. So, yeah, of course. And I want to direct scripted and comedy. I'd like to make a comedy. I'll end up directing a bunch of stuff for sure, yeah.
Very nice. And my favorite rapper is Nas, so I'm certain that a New Yorker would have loved the New York rap.
Oh,
so.
I bet Nas loves Keith.
I definitely think there's a connection there. Tyler, thank
I'll
you.
I'll ask him when I interview him.
Oh, definitely do. Tyler, thanks for the chat. Thanks for making this film and sticking with it. It was extremely powerful to watch, and I hope the message gets out there. It's definitely a beautiful message from Thomas and y'all.
Thanks a bunch. Yeah, I mean, well, you're going to help with that, so thank you.
Awesome. Well, Tyler, thanks, buddy. You have